Well, good morning. It's great to be back with you. We are continuing our study in Genesis, in particular, the creation. And I've entitled today's message, The Creation, God Continues with Filling the Sky, the Water, and the Earth. We're going to be looking at six verses. Let's read them. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. And I'll read, start in verse 20. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." There was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. And then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. You might remember we have already seen where God established and created the earth and the universe. And I think it's interesting. If the earth was as small as the moon, the power of gravity would be too weak to retain sufficient atmosphere for man's needs. If it was as large as Jupiter, Saturn, or Uranus, the gravitational pull would be so great that human movement would be impossible. If it were near to the sun, the earth that is, as Venus, the heat would be unbearable. If it were located as far away as Mars, we would experience snow and ice every night, even in the warmest regions. How about this? If the oceans were half their present dimension and size, we would receive only one-fourth the rainfall we do now. Be too little. If the oceans were one-eighth larger, our annual rainfall would quadruple, and the earth would be an uninhabitable swamp. Water freezes at 32 degrees above zero. We know that. But it would be disastrous if the oceans were subject to that law. For then the amount of thawing in the polar regions wouldn't balance out, and ice would accumulate throughout the centuries, and it would be too much. So to prevent such a catastrophe, the Lord put salt in the sea to alter its freezing point. Amazing. Astonishing. Ephesians 1 tells us, Lord, how many, this is Psalms 104, "O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all, and the earth is your possession." God is an intelligent designer. In fact, he is immensely intelligent, to the extent that we as men cannot grasp it all. So we're continuing to see that today in our study, and we're looking at creation. We're looking at day 5 and a part of day 6, where God populates the sky and the water and the earth. And we've been saying, I'll remind you, it's been several weeks, that while we study God's creation, and we're going to look at it today, we need to keep in mind it reveals not only His creation, but His creation reveals His character. It reveals His mind. It tells us who He is. It makes known His personality. It tells us who His disposition, how His disposition is. We find out all about God when we study creation. For example, we see His power and His intelligence. It's beyond our comprehension. He alone is sovereign. He alone designs it. He makes it. And then He controls everything. We see in creation that He is extraordinarily detailed, extraordinarily wise, and He's orderly. He is a God that communicates. He's very personal in the particular things of creation, and He is in our lives, and in my life, in your life. And we learn that everything, all that He does, not only has an exact purpose, but it is all according to His will and His good pleasure. So the amazing, astonishing thing about studying the account of creation is that we come to know Him and His nature in a deeper way. And we need to keep this in mind. And as we look today, keep that in mind, because we can use it in our daily lives. Now, I've outlined our text with 5 points. Verses 20 through 21 is the call for marine and bird life. The call for marine and bird life. Point 2 is the command to procreate. Verse 22. Point 3 is the completion of the fifth day. Verse 23. Point 4 is the call for animal life. Verse 24 and part of 25. And lastly, point 5 is the contentment of God. The last part of verse 25. Well, let's start with our first point. Day 5 brings us the first living creatures on earth. Look what it says, starting in verse 20. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. First part of the verse, then God said. Once again, when God wants to create something, what does He do? He speaks. All He does is speak. He simply calls forth, and out of nothing, it appears. He doesn't need anything to start with. He starts with nothing, and He creates something very complex and detailed. And it takes very little effort and very little time. So God says, He speaks. And what does He call forth? Verse 20 continues, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures." The word water is probably referring to the ocean and all the freshwater bodies. And notice, the water doesn't produce anything. It is God. He says, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures." It is His Word. It is the Word of God that produces. God's Word always produces exactly what it is intended for. That's another way of saying that God's Word, here's a big word, is efficacious. It effectively produces its intended result. And so God speaks, and His Word produces exactly what He intends. And He goes on and says, swarm. What is the word swarm? The word swarm literally emphasizes movement, meaning that the marine life created can move and it can migrate at will, as opposed to the plant life that God created. And this word creatures in Hebrew refers to living creatures that are conscious. They have appetites. They have desires for food. They have a desire to move and protect themselves. And they are distinguished from humans that have souls because they live and operate by instinct. God put this instinct in them to preserve their species. And the result that was, God called forth this full array of marine life into existence. He called it immediately. And out of nothing it appeared. And verse 21 continues, "And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves. The largest creature known to man today is the blue whale. It weighs up to 300,000 pounds, 150 tons. It includes the giant clam that grows up to 4 feet in length and weighs up to 40 pounds. It includes the whale sharks that grow up to 40 feet long. It even includes the smallest sea urchin that's less than a quarter inch in diameter. And listen to this. According to Science Daily, scientists estimate that 210,000 marine life forms of all types are currently known to science. 210,000, but the total in existence could be up to 10 times that number, over 2 million. We only know one-tenth of what God created. An estimated 5,000 previously unknown ocean fish species and hundreds of thousands of other marine life forms are yet to be discovered. New marine fish species are being identified at an average rate of 160 per year, roughly 3 new species per week since year 2000 are being cataloged and mapped by the Census of Marine Life. More than 300 scientists from 53 countries are at work on the census. An average of 1,700 other animals and numerous marine plants are also being cataloged each year. It's mind-boggling. It's amazing. And God spoke it into existence immediately. The word here, verse 21, God created. This means direct creation. Direct creation. It did not evolve. God calls into existence a massive amount of conscious animals that move and swarm through the waters. He does this all on the same day and all at the same instant. And think of the detail, the diversity, the distribution, the abundance of marine life. It is so comprehensive and so vast that the best and brightest scientists of our day cannot even get their arms around it. Did you realize that? It's amazing. The variety and complexity of what God has created is astonishing. Thomas Edison, the great inventor, made this statement about the codfish. Listen to what he said. I once figured out that if all the eggs of a single codfish, if all the eggs that a single codfish hatched into fish, if all the eggs that they laid actually hatched into fish, in a few years the whole earth would be buried under feet of codfish. But he went on to say, there is a power overruling all things on the earth, above the earth and under the earth. And that's God. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Even the amount of eggs that the codfish lay and how many hatch. Consider, for example, the Atlantic salmon. Just for example. One out of the 210,000 that we've cataloged of species. It lays its eggs in fresh water, but spends much of its life at sea. When an Atlantic salmon reaches the age of 2, it leaves its home in the North Atlantic and it begins a migration back to its freshwater birthplace in the river or stream where it was born. The females lay their eggs and the males fertilize them. But what is so amazing is what's involved in their trip back. They swim between 3 and 10 miles a day against the current for a total distance of hundreds and even thousands of miles back to where they were born. The spectacular part of the return trip is that when the salmon encounters waterfalls that have to be ascended, they've been observed swimming a sheer 10-foot waterfall in one leap. Higher falls can be conquered by a series of tall leaps from itself, from its shelf to shelf, for a total distance of 40 feet. They build up their strength after they spawn, and they return to the ocean for 2 years and they do it again. Exactly how salmon find their way back to their birthplace is still a mystery to scientists. But it shouldn't be a mystery to us as believers, should it? Do you comprehend the greatness of your God? Do you think about it? Do you limit Him in your life? Let me just give you one more example. The four-eyed fish. There is a four-eyed fish. It's a minnow-like fish called four eyes, and it makes its home in Central and South America. And what's unusual about him is his large, bulging eyes. They're so situated on his head that he can spend his time cruising along the water with only the upper half of each eye above the surface. The top half has an air lens, and the bottom half of his eye has a water lens, which amounts to a set of bifocals, giving him the ability to see in both the upper and under side of the sea in the world. So he has this lens built in his eye as he cruises along. One looks under and one looks above. What accounts for this extraordinary detail of these animals? How could they all have this instinct built in? The answer is simple. It's part of God's detail and His creative genius. How could this instinctive intelligence be a product of evolutionary chance? There's no way. It's impossible. So now God calls to populate the sky with bird life. And God said, verse 20, let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. And verse 21, He says, every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So God called and spoke and created, verse 20, birds that fly. In verse 21, every winged bird after its kind. He didn't seed the process with a few birds and let them mutate. He didn't put a few birds out there and say, okay, over a period of years, you're going to mutate and we're going to have all these species of birds. The Bible says, look here in verse 21, He created every winged bird after its kind. This means there was and were different species of all kinds. And the birds were created according to its species. They didn't mutate from one species to another. Scientists tell us there are over 10,000 species of birds in the world. About 925 in the U.S. and Canada. About 1,000 in Europe. And by far the largest concentration of bird species are in South America. Over 3,200 types of birds. According to Laura Tangley, an associate editor for U.S. News and World Report, in an article in National Wildlife, more than 200 years after biologists began naming and classifying the world's plants and animals, they still do not know how many species exist. Does that surprise you? Estimates range from 3 million to 100 million or more.
So God not only populated the waters, but he also populated the sky. And when he filled the sky with the birds, they didn't have to evolve and acquire the ability to fly. Look what verse 21 says. They had wings. And again, we have more species of birds than we can identify. And the uniqueness of each bird and the built-in instincts of the birds are mind-boggling. Consider the woodpecker, for example. They have four strong toes that allow it to grasp the tree. It has a long beak used to carve holes in trees to build its nest. The rat snake is its primary enemy, and the rat snake can climb trees. So the woodpecker drills small holes above and below its nest, and resin from the tree seeps from these holes. And the sticky residue attaches to the snake and keeps it from climbing the tree. And to keep the sap flowing, the woodpecker keeps the holes fresh every day. And the bird helps the tree because it feeds on the insects and the ants that destroy the tree. And it can peck up to 500 times a minute with the force rate of 8 times a second. It hits the wood of the tree at 13 miles per hour, which is equivalent of us running full speed head first into a tree. And yet God designed especially for the woodpecker a built-in shock absorber system. Amazing. Or think about the migration of birds. God built this in birds. It's built in. It's instinctive. Think of the detail and the creativity. One bird, the Arctic tern, migrates further than any other bird. From the North Pole to the South Pole. Every year. Did you know that when birds migrate, most of them travel at night? You know why? Because they use the stars to navigate by. Studies show that birds raised indoors still can adjust properly when they see the stars for the first time. In fact, studies done in planetariums show that birds know which direction to fly even under an artificial sky. That's our God. That's who He is. That's an example of what He creates in an instant. Let me give you one more. The chicken. We all like chicken, right? Do you know how chickens stay on their roost even when they sleep? God's skill and wisdom is seen here too. The tendons from the four toes of the chicken form a single tendon in the ball of the foot. This tendon then winds around onto the front of the leg, passing through two deep grooves, then up to the thigh, where it spreads out to make a fan-shaped muscle. While the leg is extended, the toes are spread open so the chicken can walk. But when the chicken sits down, this tendon is put on a stretch across the joints and draws the toes shut. And as long as the hen sits down on the roost, her toes automatically and tightly clutch the perch, and she cannot fall off even when she sleeps. If God didn't make provision for the hen sleeping safely, we probably wouldn't have the eggs that hatch. So God calls forth, and boom, thousands of amazing creatures in the water and sky are created. It is beyond the scope of us as humans to get our brains around it. The complexity, the diversity, the intelligence behind it all make it impossible for all of this to happen by chance. And notice what God thought of it at the end of verse 21. God saw that it was good. He designed what He made and He was pleased with it. His own character and goodness was reflected in it. He didn't just wind it up and let it run by itself. He is involved in all of creation, in every detail of creation, and in every detail of managing that creation. You know what it says in Matthew 10:29? Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from Him. So that was the call for marine and bird life. And next we have the command to procreate. God blessed them, verse 22, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let birds multiply on the earth." It's been said that all living organisms have three remarkable traits that God built in. You know what they are? First, they are self-sustaining. They can defend themselves. They can get food. They can breathe. They can live. They're self-sustaining. Second, they are self-repairing. To a certain point, they will heal if injured. And lastly, they're self-reproducing, meaning they have a built-in capacity and capability to reproduce and procreate according to their kind. So all these living creatures have these three elements, these three remarkable traits. They're self-sustaining, self-repairing, and self-reproducing. And man, no matter how hard we have been able to try, cannot create a robot or a machine that can have these capabilities. Only God can. Only the intelligence of our great God and Creator can do this. And every one of these birds and marine life have this capability in each of the species in hundreds and hundreds of different ways. Incredibly, each of these species has a detailed DNA code found in their genetic structure that controls all living things and the reproduction of their own kind, in their species. Think about this. How could evolution of life on earth be true if God gave the command to reproduce after He created it all? If evolution was true, then procreation would have been in the works for millions of years to fill the earth, to fill the water in the sky, and yet God commanded it after He created the marine life and the bird life. Where did the ability to procreate and all of its complexity come from? It came from an intelligent designer. And Moses tells us here in verse 22, it is God. God blessed them and said, "Multiply." He gave them the ability. And so we come now to the completion of the fifth day, verse 23. "And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day." This is a precise 24-hour period. It says in Scripture, evening and morning, a day, the fifth one. It describes a cycle of light and dark, evening and morning, one day. Why did God create the world in 6 days? Do we know why? Well, we're not sure, but we know He did it out of His good pleasure. God could have created everything in one day, right? Or He could have created the marine life and animal life on day six. Or He could have created it on day four. But He didn't. And in His providence and in His perfect and precise timing, He called the birds and the marine life on day five. He had the exact time ordained. Do you know He does that in your life too? Don't get ahead of God. How many times do we want something before He's ready to give it to us? We can see this, that God is a God of order. God is precise. In fact, the Hebrew translation of this verse has the idea of order in it. God has ordered your life too, and my life. And we need to be at peace with that today, and we need to be comfortable where God has placed us in the progression of our lives. He has a precise order for you and a precise order for me. And there is a perfect progression in your life ordained by God that He has ordered. I remember my dad used to say, don't wish your life away. Meaning be pleased where God has placed you this day in your life. Rest where He has you now. Don't run out in front of God. Trust Him each day, one day at a time, because He is a God of order and He has ordained the events of your life in perfect timing each day. You know, we all recognize that God's in control, but we seem to stop short of realizing that He is ordaining the timing of all the affairs in your life, down to the smallest detail. Don't ever forget that. We want things now. Joseph waited for 2 years in the dungeon, never thinking what God was preparing for him. How God was preparing for him to be the most important, powerful man in the world. But he trusted and he looked to God for the perfect timing ordained in his life. Look, this is a college class. Most of us are single. Most of you are single, and you're wondering if the Lord will bring you your mate. And not only that, but can He bring someone that's right for me? And the answer is His timing is just right. He is perfect. He has ordained your life. Should we be frustrated with God because He didn't populate the sky and the water on day 5? He is a God of perfect timing and order, and He wants us to trust Him for everything that happens. And not only that, He wants us to trust Him when it happens. Notice, He didn't put the birds in the water. He didn't put the fish in the sky, did He? He assigned each creature to the perfect place in His creation. He didn't assign men to be women. He didn't assign women to be men. There is a specific order and purpose and design for everything He makes. There is a specific ordering of events in your life. The timing of everyone you meet. Even the timing of you being here this morning is ordained perfectly by Him. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that everything that happens in our lives as believers, God has purposed and designed perfectly for you. It is true. And yes, the exact date you were born, perfectly ordained for you. And if God can create all this and ordain the timing of everything, shouldn't we worry less? Shouldn't we trust Him more? I know I should. What a magnificent comfort should come over us when we consider the greatness of God, the intelligence of God. Let me continue in verse 24, the call for animal life. And God continues, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth and after their kind. And it was so. Continues in verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. So when the sun rises on day 6, we have the call for all types of animal life. We have cattle, creeping things, beasts of the earth. This includes every kind of animal that makes its home on the land. And the Bible is clear that these creatures didn't evolve from marine life. They didn't evolve from bird life. A cow didn't evolve from a buffalo, for example, because they were all created at the same time. The word cattle in Hebrew means livestock, animals that are able to be domesticated, like horses and goats and sheep and donkeys and camels and cows and cats and dogs. And then he says creeping things. That includes reptiles, insects, probably small mammals like the mice and the squirrels and the beavers and the chipmunks and on and on. And then the beasts of the earth. That includes the extinct dinosaurs and the elephants and the lions and the tigers and the bears and the wolves. The cougars, the panthers, the jaguars. He says, let the earth bring forth living creatures. What does that mean? Does it mean that the animals evolved from the powers of the earth? No, it simply means that these animals that God made are composed of the same material that He made the earth out of. Have you ever seen the carcass of a dead animal? What happens? Over months it dissolves back into the earth. The dust of the earth. The animal kingdom is enormous, and we don't know for certain, this may surprise you, how many species there are in the world. We can't even number that either. Around 1.5 million species of animals have been named and described by scientists. It is known that there are about twice as many animals in tropical rainforests than any other habitat, and it is here that there are likely to be countless numbers of species still yet unknown to us. So we can't get our brain around all of the marine life, all of the bird life, or all of the animal life. It's massive. So God says He created the cattle. Let me give you an example of a cow. The complexity and diversity of a cow. There are approximately 1.3 to 1.5 billion cows on the earth today. They're used for meat, beef, veal, steaks, hamburgers, and on. They're used for all types of dairy products. Milk, cream, butter, cheese, ice cream. Their hide is used for leather. Their manure is even used for fuel in parts of the world. They're used to pull carts and plows in certain areas. Cattle are uniquely created and designed to serve the needs of us. Amazing. Now, how about the complexity of how they're designed? They can live in extreme cold or extreme heat. They can adapt to almost any environment. And all they eat is hay or grass. Their makeup is remarkable. Their stomach is divided into four compartments. When they eat, the partially chewed grass passes into the first stomach compartment and it breaks down through fermentation. The cow, when he drinks between 20 and 50 gallons a day, most of that passes into the second compartment of the stomach where it mixes with digestive enzymes and more fermentation and bacteria. And at the same time, the muscular movement of the stomach rolls. And the grass that was eaten in the first compartment builds into little balls. And this partially fermented balls are then passed into the second compartment of the stomach, mixing with this liquid enzyme. And later, when the cow has time to chew its cud, these soggy little balls are brought back up from the second compartment of the stomach for the cow to grind and chew up more sufficiently before swallowing it again. You know, God talks about the cow chewing its cud in Leviticus. So if the cud has been thoroughly chewed and compacted, it passes through the second chamber of the stomach to the third chamber where the digestive enzymes break down the food even more. And finally, the refined food is passed into the fourth compartment of the stomach where the digestive process is completed and the proper nutrients are passed into the cow's bloodstream, which keeps the cow alive and allows it to produce the important nutrients that make its milk. It's unbelievable. And they live off of eating grass. And look what we get out of it. Or look how God made the camel. The camel has provided a service to man in dry desert regions of the world for many, many years. The camel can carry large loads. Did you know the camel can carry over 1,000 pounds or more? They can lose up to 40% of their body weight and still live. The camel has 3 stomachs. They can drink up to 30 gallons of water in 10 minutes. No other animal could drink that much water and live. And yet God made the blood cells in the camel to expand 3 times the size so that when it drinks the water, it allows and slows down the seepage of the water into the system of the camel and its bloodstream absorption. The camel can go for 7 or 8 days without water typically and has been known to survive for 2.5 weeks in the desert without water. Did you know it also has a great sense of smell? When ready to stop through the weariness of a long journey, it detects a distant stream. It smells water or a fountain. It gains renewed strength, and by sniffing the air, it strides on until it can drink the fresh water. And God made that. He designed it for us. People who study insects estimate that over 1.5 million different kinds of insects exist in the world. New ones turn up every day, and the count, they say, may go up to 5 million different insects. An enormous insect world. Did you know that with the enormous insect world, members which prey on man's crops and sources of food, those that transmit disease from animal to man, and those which serve as biological hosts of viral diseases, if these insects were to get out of hand so that simultaneously there could be a resurgence of malaria or plague coupled with a visitation of locusts, man could be eliminated. But God balances that too. The point is, there is a delicate balance in the animal world that God has put in place. Each species is part of an ideal balance. There are many interdependencies within the ecosystems. Events that affect one population typically have ripple effects affecting other populations. When the size of one population becomes too large or too small for its role in the ecosystem, it's out of balance and may throw others out of balance. Yet God balances it perfectly. And the same is in the church. God brings each of us together, and we have a role to play. Your role is different than mine. We all have different gifts, and each and every one of us are important in the balance of the church. Like different animals, we all have different functions. And like the animal world, we are interdependent on each other. And that's why it's so important for you to come to church and for you to be involved and for you to use your gifts as God has given you. And so finally, let's close with the contentment of God. God saw that it was good. He saw it was good. Everything God makes is perfect and excellent. He makes it for a purpose according to His design. And the same is true for you. There is a specific purpose for you. There is a specific purpose and reason why He designed you for His glory. Even the complex details of your physical body, your eyes, your height, the color of your hair, your musical ability or lack thereof, your athleticism, your brain power, the size of your feet, nose, fingers, ears, they are all perfectly and intricately designed by God. No matter how you think you look, you need to be content because God sees it as good and He is content with the creation of you. He designed you and made you exactly like He wants you. How do you think it makes God feel if we're frustrated how He made us? When He takes pleasure in His work. How can we be discontent
when God is content with what He has created. Amazing. It's amazing. Let me close with this. The hymn, "God Moves in a Mysterious Way," has been a source of great comfort to God's people since William Cowper wrote it in the 18th century. Yet few people know of the unusual circumstances that led to him writing this. William Cowper was a Christian, but he had fallen in depression. He was in despair. And one foggy night, he called for a horse-drawn carriage, and he asked to be taken to the London Bridge on the Thames River. He was so overcome by depression that he intended to commit suicide. But after 2 hours of driving through the mist, Cooper's coachman reluctantly confessed that he was lost. Disgusted by the delay, Cowper left the carriage and decided to find the London Bridge himself on foot. And after walking only a short distance, he discovered that he was back at his own doorstep. The carriage had been going in circles. Immediately, he recognized the restraining hand of God in it all. You see, God is in control of everything in your life and my life. Everything. And as he recognized it, he was convicted by the Spirit, and he realized that the way out of his trouble was to look to God and not himself, and to be content and not to jump into the river. And as he cast his burdens on the Savior, his heart was comforted. That's what God wants us to do. And with gratitude, he sat down and he penned these reassuring words: God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and He rides upon the storm. You see, it's all of God. Everything. Oh, fearful saints, fresh take courage. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. The greatness of God, the diversity of God, the intelligence of God is beyond us. I want to trust in Him. I want Him in control of my life. I want Him in control of my future. I want to please Him as my Lord and my Savior. Don't you? Do you want this God, this great God, running your life? Or do you want to run it? I want Him to run my life. I'm thankful that I have a relationship with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for what You teach us. And we thank You, Father, that You are intimately involved in every detail of our makeup and how we're made, not only in how we're made, but in the timing of who we meet and where we go. And so, Father, help us to trust You more. Help us to look at the greatness of You and the amazing attributes, the astonishing attributes of who You are. Help us to love You more and trust You more. And Father, we thank You for what You've done in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.